ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧೆ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ್ 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 ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ್ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾದ ಗುರುದೇವ್ 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 ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಗುರುದೇವ್ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿಬೋಲ್ 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 ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿಬೋಲ್ కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్భాగవతంకి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నమో ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నమో భగవతే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః ఓం అజ్ఞానతమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షుమీళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమా ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతీదేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశచారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః హే కృష్ణకరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేష గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద చాప్టర్ థర్డ్ క్యాంటో 18 చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 21 ఆసన్న శౌండీరమపేత సాద్వసం కృత ప్రతీకార మహార్య విక్రమం విలక్ష్య దైత్యం భగవాన్ సహస్రణీర్ జగాద నారాయణమాది సూకరం ఆసన్న శౌండీరమపేత సాధ్వసం కృత ప్రతీకార మహార్య విక్రమం విలక్ష్య దైత్యం భగవాన్ సహస్రణీర్ జగాద నారాయణమాది సూకరం ఆసన్న శౌండీరమపేత సాధ్వసం కృత ప్రతీకార మహార్య విక్రమం విలక్ష దైత్యం భగవాన్ సహస్రణీర్ జగదనారాయణమాదిశూకరం కృత ప్రతీకారమహార్య విక్రమం విలక్షదైత్యం భగవాన్ సహస్రనిర్ ఆసన్న శౌండీరమపేత సాద్వసం కృత ప్రతీకార మహార్య విక్రమం దిస్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ డజంట్ హ్యావ్ అప్పర్ పోర్ట్ వీ విల్ రీడ్ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ దెన్ వీ విల్ గో టు ది నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్ Asanna, attained. Shaundiram, power. Apeta, devoid of. Sadvasam, fear. Krita, making. Pratikaram, opposition. Aharya, unopposable. Vikramam, having power. Vilakshya, having seen. Daityam, the demon. Bhagavan, the worshipful Brahma. Sahasranihi, the leader of thousands of sages. Jagada, addressed. Narayanam, Lord Narayana. Adi, the original. Sukaram, having the form of a boar. Translation, after arriving at the place of combat, Brahma, the leader of thousands of sages and transcendentalists, saw the demon who had attained such unprecedented power that no one could fight with him. Brahma then addressed Narayana, who was assuming the form of a boar for the first time. Brahmo vacha. I think all of you may not be able to recite it because we don't have it on the board. ఏషే దేవదేవానాం అంగ్రిమూలంబుపేయుషాం విప్రాణాం సౌరభేయీణాం భూతానామప్యనాగసాం ఆగస్కృత్ భయకృత్ దుష్కృత్ అస్మద్రాధవరో సురః అన్వేషన్ అప్రతీరహతో అప్రతీరథో లోకాన్ అటతి కంటకః. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఇస్ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద. శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ కి. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet." Prabhupada writes about this pinprick elsewhere also. In the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, there is some pinprick in the society. Despite having made great advancement in technology and science and medical field and also economic development and everything, there is some pinprick in society. So what is this pinprick? Pinprick means people have everything but they are not happy. They always face some troubles due to cutthroat competition, due to leg pulling, backbiting, or hurting one another. People are not able to be happy. The purpose of economic development is happiness, but economic development has brought about a great mess in the world. So Prabhupada writes there as a pinprick. Here also he's saying that the demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods. Pinprick to the demigods means if there is a pinprick in any part of your body, all the attention of your body goes to that part. While you're walking on the road, if a thorn pricks your feet, the entire attention goes to that. Similarly, the demigods, even when Hiranyakashipu, also when he was performing penance, his penance was hurting the demigods because he was raising the hand and emanating fire. And all the demigods left their abodes and they were all flying and they went to Brahma. Similarly here, Hiranyaksha is also creating some trouble to the demigods, and he is not allowing them to live peacefully. You will see that in this world, when the demons are in power, they create a great trouble for the common living entities also. Like Prabhupada says, sometimes two countries are fighting terribly to take over the kingdom of the other, due to which the common people who are pedestrians in the road or people who are doing their daily activities, they cannot live peacefully. Just like the terrorists entering into trains and bombarding bomb blasts in a sequence, isn't it? First in this train and that train and this train. Similarly, or they do it in the airports. So when two big demons are fighting, the peace of mind of the common people is in trouble. Or sometimes the demons, in order to create suffering in the public to draw the attention of the government. They want the attention of government, but further they trouble the people. Like that. In the Vedic times, they did it more decently. They would go to a particular pradesh and steal away all the cows. And they will take the cows. So the people who have lost their cows, they have to complain to the king. And then the king would wage a war and get back all the cows. So it was that way they didn't create too much trouble for the public. And the war would go on somewhere in the outskirts without affecting the normal functioning of the society. So here he's telling, he became a pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Prabhupada says the demon always harasses a devotee, like Prahalad being harassed by Hiranyakashipu repeatedly for no good reason. Except that the Prahalad spoke the truth. Lord Narasimha is supreme. For that he had to bear so many types of tortures enforced by Hiranyakashipu. Similarly, the devotee and demon are of two opposite natures, like oil and water. Because of which the demons always, they harass the devotees. Since he has attained a boon from me, Brahma says, since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for this infamous purpose. You see, one scientist created a Frankenstein, one particular type of creature, and that same creature destroyed him. Very same creature. And it can happen sometimes in the field of science like that also. Like, you know, when the atom bomb was created, when it was exploded first time, dynamite, when it was exploded, at that time the scientists realized that although it is helpful to break the mountains and for some little constructive purpose, the very same thing can be extremely destructive. So in this way, the very same thing which they created became a cause of their suffering. So the scientist created the Frankenstein, but the very same Frankenstein destroyed him. So many great sci-fi writers like H.G. Wells and Jules Verne, H.G. Wells wrote a book called As Thinking Machine, where he, long before, many decades before, he predicted that man is going to become a subordinate slave to the machines, and it is becoming true now, more and more. Similarly, Brahma had the power to give a benediction to Hiranyakashipu. He gave a great benediction, but now Brahma and all demigods are themselves in trouble after giving that benediction. See, this can happen to any living entity in this world. Sometimes one X empowers another person Y to do some good work, but the Y swallows X. You can see that happening in this world. Because in good trust, you know, a man entrusts a lot of money to somebody to start a business and do the business. That fellow takes the money and the profit and runs away. That can happen. Similarly, Brahma here, while giving benediction, Brahma thought it is within his reach. But after giving benediction, Brahma is finding himself in trouble now.
So he's approaching the Supreme Lord, and the Lord is going to take an action. This is one thing that cannot happen with the Lord. Like Lord says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. He says, Maya is mine, but Maya can never overpower Krishna. Sometimes, in Bible, sometimes the Satan and Jesus are kept in opposite sides, and sometimes the Satan is trying to even tempt Jesus also. So they say the Satan is very powerful, as the Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the dawn of creation. Actually, the Satan is certainly a very powerful personality, and he can delude and bewilder the common living entities. But he is ultimately the energy of the Supreme Lord only. Just like we have our body and we have our shadow. Similarly, Maya is also like a shadow of the Lord. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani bibharati durga. It is not that Maya is a separate entity and Maya is an opponent to the Lord. It's not like that. The Maya is also one of the energies of the Lord. Just like the government of India has a jail, you know. The government of India has also many universities where they educate the students. Good students are sent to universities. You know, thieves and rogues are sent to the jail. Similarly, the Lord has the spiritual world and he has also got material world. According to the conduct of the living entities, they are placed in different places. And both are energies of the Supreme Lord only. So, you know, that way we can understand that the material energy can never overpower the Supreme Lord, because material energy is only one of the energies of the Lord. So in this way, the Lord is Swarat, or the Supreme, and no one can ever conquer him. Whereas the demigod sometimes can become overpowered by demons. That we read here. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for this infamous purpose. Purport. There are two classes of living entities. One is called Sura, or the demigods, and the other is called Asura, or the demons. The demons are generally fond of worshipping the demigods, and there are evidences that by such worship, they get extensive power for their sense gratification. This later proves to be a cause of trouble to the Brahmanas, demigods, and other innocent living entities. Demons habitually find fault with the demigods, Brahmanas, and innocent, to whom they are a constant source of fear. The way of the demon is to take power from the demigods and then tease the demigods themselves. There is an instance of a great devotee of Lord Shiva who obtained a boon from Lord Shiva that the head of whomever he touched with his hand would come off its trunk. As soon as the boon was offered to him, the demon wanted to touch the very head of Lord Shiva. That is their way. The devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not, however, ask any favor for sense gratification. Even if they are offered liberation, they refuse it. They are happily engaging in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So there are three types of people being explained here. The demon, the demigods, and the pure devotees. The demons have a controlling mentality or exploiting mentality, because that gives them a sense of enjoyment. For example, one of the things that gives them enjoyment is to be an owner of something. Why people like to own some land or something in their name, paper in their name. They feel that once the paper is there in my name, it is my property and I can enjoy. But then to increase one's land or property gives more enjoyment, and to possess more land and more commodities. More enjoyment than possessing things is the enjoyment that comes from controlling living entities. That gives much greater enjoyment, because living entities are conscious and they are moving. And when one can control them, just like, you know, you clap hands and 10 people come running and salute you, then one feels that, oh, I am in charge, I am in control. That gives a great joy when living entities submit to us. And more greater enjoyment comes when living entities who are possessed with great opulences themselves, like bodily beauty or high education or great wealth, they agree to be subordinate to us. Then we get even more greater enjoyment. So in this way, our desire to control the land or the assets or the people, living entities, and the goal is actually enjoyment. One wants to be in control. Like Hiranyakashipu thought that if I bring all the demigods under my control, I will not be controlled by heat or cold. I will not be controlled by the laws of this world. He wanted to reverse the laws. Those who do pious activities should be sent to hell, and those who do sinful activities should be sent to heaven. He wanted to reverse the law, like that. And also, he wanted to take over the charge of everything from the demigods and run them all himself. And then he will have his own ministers who are all Asuric ministers who will run the whole show of the material world. So basically, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to become a Ekarat. Ekarat means a singular king of the whole three worlds, all the three worlds. So that he will not be controlled. The whole idea is the living entity desires that I want to be free. I want to be independent. And I don't want to be controlled. Rather, I want to become a controller by which I can become an enjoyer. That is actually the goal. So the problem in this desire is that the living entity has only a minute independence. And the Supreme Lord has absolute independence. And with that minute independence, the living entity, if he aligns with the Lord's plan, he's called as a Sura. And if he opposes the Lord's plan, he's called as an Asura, as Prabhupada explains here. Now the demigods, these three categories of people, demons, demigods and devotees. See, demons, it's not that the demon means immediately we picture us in our mind, they have two horns and they have teeth like this. They look very dangerous or something. That's what we think demon must be. Actually, Prabhupada writes in one of the Bhagavad Gita purports, he says that what is the meaning of being cultured and not being cultured? There are many living entities in this world. In the modern times, you find they are wearing coat, suit, boot, tie, and they shake hands and they give a very beautiful smile. And they appear to be very perfect gentlemen. But there can be a first-class rogue in the dress of a very perfect gentleman. In the Vedic times, if they were to show a thief, they would show him with curly hair, and he'll be wearing some goggles. He'll be wearing a kerchief around his neck, and he'll climb on the wall and jump into your compound. That is considered a thief. Generally, thief means that's what you... In modern time, people come with coat, suit, boot and everything, with t-shirt, and with tie and everything, and they shake hands and they loot you crores of rupees. Isn't it? They loot you like anything. That is why when we talk about demon, there is only one thing that categorizes somebody as a demon. Asurastat viparyayaha. If somebody is opposed to Lord Vishnu, he is a demon. That's all. There is no other consideration. All other considerations are to be placed next. That is why we should not fall in the trap of appreciating the so-called good qualities of the non-devotees. There are many non-devotees who are very humble and very polite and well-mannered. They are very gentle, especially the marketing executives. Can see them, how they will behave with you. Or the air hostess or receptionist in hotels. How they are humble and polite with you, you can see that. But actually, majority of them have no faith in God at all. Somebody may look like having many good qualities, but their demoniac nature is exposed when they deny God. That is the most foundational thing. So demon means one who denies God, that's all. Other things are all secondary to this. On the other hand, a demigod means one who accepts the authority of Vishnu, authority of God. Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asurastat viparyayaha. So, the demigods accept the authority of Vishnu. That doesn't mean they don't want to enjoy. Demigods also want to enjoy. Demon also wants to enjoy. Then why are they categorized as two? Because demigods will only enjoy through Vishnu. They will request for enjoyment from Vishnu. Whereas the demons want to enjoy independently, without following the plan of Lord Vishnu. they will not take permission from Vishnu. They will do what they want. And that is why Lord Vishnu gives good advice to demigods in the beginning of the Samudra Manthana Leela. And demigods have been obedient all through. Whereas the demons are in no mood to listen to any good instructions. And they always rebel against Lord Vishnu. And they also try to, they think that they always calculate in a very materialistic manner. Like Duryodhana calculated in a materialistic manner that 10,000 people of Narayana Sena would be superior to one Krishna. That was his calculation, foolishly. He was thinking, as such, here is 10,000, here is one. This 10,000 is superior, and this one also will not lift any weapon. What is the use? Like that he thought. So this is the way the mathematical calculation of materialists goes. They don't know the value of God. They don't know the value of becoming Krishna's devotee. On the other hand, Kunti Maharani, when Krishna was going away from Hastinapur to Dwaraka, she is telling Krishna, Kevayam nama rupabhyam yadubihi saha pandava bhavato adarshanam jarhi rishikanam iveshitu. My dear Krishna, when you are absent, then what is the use of these yadus and pandavas? They are like lifeless bodies, she is telling. Which means when you go away, we all become like lifeless body. Lifeless body is good for nothing except for putting in the fire. So this is the way the devotee thinks, that without Krishna, my life, I have no life at all. It's like as if somebody is taking away your life without Krishna. Although the Pandavas were very people of very high character and great competence, and they were world champions, they were very famous, they were fit to rule the whole world, but they were dependent on Krishna. So the demigods also know very well that Vishnu is the supplier of everything. Vishnu is the mother and father. He is be all and end all. And he is all loving. He is all kind. And we are all like little children. And we should exist for his pleasure. And we should exactly do what he wishes us to do. So this is the meaning of a demigod. They abide by Lord Vishnu. But the problem is the demigods also have a tendency to control. They also have a tendency to enjoy. That is why in that verse, you all can repeat a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha panapatram mukham drisham bahavo lokapalanam saranganam padam bujam. See, Shri, goddess of fortune, resides in the chest of Vishnu. Whereas the demigods want to reside on the shoulders of Vishnu, he says. And the pure devotees want to reside in the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Like the bumblebees who are always drinking the honey. They want to drink the honey of Lord's lotus feet, pure devotees. Whereas the demigods want to reside on the shoulders. Why? Bahavo lokapalana means because the shoulder represents dominion over something or rule over something. Like we say the Brahmanas are head and Kshatriyas are bahu, hands. So the demigods are administrators, so they want to be in the shoulder of the Lord. They want to administrate. So administrate means some amount of control is there. So they have a desire to control. So the Lord makes such living entities as demigods. Yes, they can control, and in that way they can serve. In school also, sometimes the teachers see some children have a propensity to control. So they make them the class representative. Or they make those children put all the other children in queue and then take them somewhere. They do that, isn't it? Because when, Ishwara Bhavam is used in Bhagavad Gita, the word Ishwara Bhavam is used, which means controller mentality is there, controlling mentality. But the controlling mentality can be dovetailed in Vishnu service also by doing the control in the way that Vishnu wants us to do. One can control the resources of the material world. So the demigods are put in that position. But because the demigods render service to Vishnu, they are becoming gradually purified. But because the demigods are allowed to control, sometimes that control pollutes them. That opportunity awarded for controlling can pollute them, contaminate them, because especially when this control component increases and service component reduces. When service is minimized and control is increased, then one becomes arrogant. Then one gets a lording over tendency, dominating tendency over the other living entities. And also, as soon as the control component is increased, the demigods sometimes start thinking themselves autonomous, and they also desire prestige. They also desire some prestige, some status, some name, fame, glory, and things like that. And that is how the demigods award benedictions to demons, which become a great threat to the whole universe later on. This is how it happens. In fact, Lord Narasimha, in one of the shlokas you will find in the 7th canto, he turns to Brahmaji and tells Brahma that, how did you award this benediction to Hiranyakashipu? You have awarded more than what should be awarded to any living entity. Due to which I had to personally come and set right the situation. Like that. So, the demigods actually award the benedictions to the living entities without contemplating on their supreme welfare. They only, you do your puja for the demigod and then they will award it without even bothering about. That is why that verse is used. Kamaistaistair hritajnana prapadyante anya devata tam tam niyamamastaya prakritya niyata svaya. So there he says, kamaistaistair. Those asuras who have a polluted mentality, they actually go to the demigods to get some benedictions, which ultimately cause trouble to them and others also in the universe. There is one beautiful verse in the 7th canto. Prahlad says, what that was? Ashasanona vaibhritya swamin ashisha atmanaha na swami brityata swamyam ichan jorati chashishaha. He says that person is not a servant who serves a master with some material motivations. That master is not a master who bestows upon his servant some benedictions to increase his prestige. So he's telling about both. He's telling about servant also and master also. So the asuras are motivated servants and the demigods are motivated masters. And Krishna is a pure master and Krishna's devotees are pure servants. That is why Nivritta Gunavrittaye is said. Kuntivarani is telling. Namo Akinchana Vittaya Nivritta Gunavrittaye, which means, my dear Lord Krishna, your devotees are pure. They approach you only for service. And you approach your devotees only to exchange love. So the relationship between Lord and his pure devotees is completely beyond the purview of the three gunas, three modes of material nature. And that is why it is transcendental, it is sweet. There is no other commodity exchanged except pure love. And that is why the relationship is so sweet in that. But in the material world, you will see, as soon as some motivations come, the relationship becomes bitter and all problems come. You will find many times devotees living in certain temples, you know, they deeply love the spiritual master who occasionally visits the temple, you know. At the same time, they may have problems with the manager. And the reason for this is very simple. Because with spiritual master, they exchange only one commodity. What is it? What is the only commodity they exchange with the spiritual master? Pure love. They know that spiritual master is having no motivations. He simply wants to see me go back to Godhead. You know, he has given me diksha. He has given me name. He has given me good instructions. And he is like my father. He is like my mother. He is everything. So their heart is welling up with gratitude for the guru. And similarly, guru also, actually guru wants to see the disciple happy wherever he is. Guru generally gives instruction to make the disciple happy. He wants to see the disciple peaceful with his mind and senses, engage in Krishna service and go back to Godhead. So the relationship is very sweet. But then, because Guru is little far away also, it is very easy to love him. But when there is an authority right above managers who come, and then one has to take some services and do from them, because some task has to be accomplished. Some goal has to be accomplished and work has to be done. So then, on behalf of Guru, the managers and authorities, they help the devotee get purified. And the purification is a little painful. Oftentimes it leads to distancing in relationships also. You can see that. So in the same manner, the pure devotees and the Supreme Lord have sweet relationship. And there is no task has to be done except exchanging love. That's all. Because in spiritual world, all water is honey and nobody talks there. People only sing there. There is no walking there. Everybody dances there. So it's a very beautiful world. But when you come to material world, the material world has its own laws. There is jivo jivasya jivanam principle in the material world. And the bigger ones eat the smaller ones. Similarly, there is law of karma. There is law of last thought at the time of death. So in this way, material world is filled with varieties of conditions, and the demigods, when they see the demons doing great puja for them, they want to show to the demon that I am a very prestigious demigod. I am capable of awarding you benedictions, which that demigod cannot give you. I can give you. I am better than the demigod. Just like our Trishanku, he wanted to go to heaven without doing the appropriate yajna. So he went to Vasishtha Muni, and Vasishtha Muni told him, even you should not even ask such a question. You are asking, you want to go to heaven without yajna, it's an offense to the Lord. Lord has made a procedure to go to heaven and you are asking like this. So then he left Vasishtha and he went to his sons and told his sons that, your father is incapable of sending me to heaven. So can you send me to heaven without doing yajna? So they cursed him to become a chandala because he was offending Vasishtha Muni, and also he wanted to go to heaven without paying the price. So he cursed him to become a chandala. And then with a blackish dress and blackish body, he came to Vishwamitra and told him that actually, what is the use? There are many people moving here and there in the name of rishis, but they have no potency, no capability, he was telling. Vishwamitra asked, what is the matter? Then he told him, Vasishtha is unable to send me to heaven. He said, oh, Vasishtha is unable to do? If he cannot do something, I will prove to you that I can do. I will send you to heaven. You come to me. And then Vishwamitra tried to, send him to heaven by his own, power, tapobalam, his own power. And you know what happened subsequently. So in this way, even amongst rishis, munis, there can be competition to outdo one another, to prove that I am better than you. Same with demigods also. Because as long as there is a material tinge, there will be competition. There will be cutthroat competition. There will be hunger, hungry for power, hungry for prestige, hungry for position. These things will be there as long as there is material tinge. In the second verse of the first chapter in first canto, Prabhupada says that pure devotees aim at the spiritual world, so they have no competition, he says. They directly aim at the spiritual world and service to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the demigods, even amongst them, there can be competition. And sometimes the demigods can misunderstand the Supreme Lord, as we have read many past times of Brahma misunderstanding Krishna. Brahma also wanted to show his mystic power to Krishna. Or Indra, recently I was reading Vallabhacharya's one beautiful commentary has given on why did Krishna lift the Govardhan hill. He says, first Krishna thought that I will fight with the clouds and drive the clouds back. But then the Lord thought that if I send the clouds back, then Indra will again send them back. It will be like a game, back and forth, it will be going on. There's no use. Then the Lord thought, let me kill Indra. Then the Lord thought, no, Indra cannot be killed because this is actually a misuse of his power. But he is a universal administrator. He is supposed to propagate Brahminical culture. And whatever mistake he did like this is occasional. It is circumstantial. It is not his thai position to commit this kind of blunders. So Lord thought that killing him would be a very too severe a punishment. I shouldn't do that. Then what can I do? Then the Lord thought, maybe I will take all the Vajavasis in my Shakti in my effulgence, I'll keep them with me and I'll go to another place so that all of the Vrijavasis will be protected. Then the Lord thought, if I go to another place, he will send the clouds to that place and he will pour the rains there. Then the Lord thought, that is also not a good idea. Then the Lord thought that this Govardhan is the one who ate all the offerings that was meant for Indra. Because they were all transformed into nice eatable items and offered to Govardhan. Because this Govardhan was the one who ate all the offerings of Indra, I will use him only to defeat Indra. So then he lifted the Govardhan hill. And he did it in such an amazing way that Indra was like flabbergasted. Because Lord never fought with Indra, taking sword and taking bow and arrow. Lord did not fight with Indra. Or Lord did not beg Indra to stop the rain. Hey, Indra, sorry. I will tell all the Vrijavasis to worship you now. I will also worship you. Please kindly stop. Lord did not beg Indra. Lord did not fight with Indra. Lord lifting the Govardhan hill is a first-class way of insulting Indra. There cannot be a better way, because by lifting Govardhan hill, Lord wanted to tell Indra that actually, you know, you are non-existent for me and the Vrijavasis. Your existence is of no consequence to us. You can throw tantrums, you do whatever you wish, that's not going to affect us. That is one thing. Adding insult to injury, the Lord also under the Govardhan was having great celebration going on. Not only the Vrijavasis are protected from your rain, but they are not only peaceful, they are also celebrating. They are enjoying. You can see for yourself how happy they are. Me and my devotees, we are very happy. The Lord wanted to show. So in this way, Lord actually helped Indra to come to his senses and realize his folly and submit a prayer to the Lord. And Lord wanted Indra to have his head between the shoulders, which means be level-headed. Don't imagine, don't have inflated ego, thinking yourself to be an autonomous, independent, supreme controller of the universe. So Lord had to teach Indra this, because sometimes demigods can become demoniac when they focus only on the controlling aspect and not on serving aspect. So in this way, the demigods sometimes themselves become bewildered. Or in case they don't become bewildered, they may be serving. But sometimes they award benedictions to demons who worship them. Because the demigods feel that if I don't offer him benediction, what will the demon think of me? He will think that I am incapable. Correct, no? Like sometimes, whenever I go for prasadam serving, I will tell the devotees, give me the item which is unlimited. Because it's easy to serve, you know, dal or rice or something like that. But sometimes I get to serve gulab jamun, you know. And sometimes somebody comes and asks for second time, third time. It is very difficult to say no. Why we don't want to say no? Because you will look like a bad guy, you know, if you say no to them. So on the other hand, you give out loosely 4 or 5 gulab jamuns to one devotee, then the head will catch you. Hey, Prabhu, you know, don't be so liberal, because everybody has to get, you know. So you are caught between the two. You want to earn good name also. Similarly, the Lord is above them. Hey, don't give demon any benediction. Lord is telling. At the same time, demigod is feeling, how can I say no to him, you know. Sometimes you say no to him, then that fellow will go to some senior devotee and say, and senior devotee will say, "Okay, ek de do." No? Then after senior says, you have to give. Correct, no? So sometimes one feels that instead of senior telling me, if I gave it, I would have earned a good name. Like that one feels. Correct, no? So in this way, the demigods many times feel that I will earn good reputation and I will earn fame. And this demon will go and tell everybody that he did tapasya for me. And he got the benediction, so they will also become my followers. In this way, I can increase my following. That desire is there in demigods, because they are administrators of the universe. So, but this desire can be curbed when the demigods gradually become pure devotees. As they become purer and purer, the desire to control, the desire to lord over, the desire to increase followers, all these things will reduce. So that is why here in this purport, all the three are being explained. The example of Shiva is being given. In one Purana, it is explained that when Shiva was running away from this Bhasmasura, who was extending his hand and running behind Shiva, It is said that Lord Vishnu saw the plight of Shiva and he took the form of a beautiful young girl who was dressed in Bharatanatyam dress. You know, you have seen with a long hair. And then she was dancing very beautifully. So the demon was running, but then he saw this beautiful girl and he stopped immediately. And then the demon was so inspired by her dance and he also started dancing. And while dancing, at the end of the dance, she did like this. You know? And then demon also kept like this and then he exploded. You know? But in another place it is explained, Lord Vishnu came as a Brahmana boy. And very sweetly spoke to him and made the demon touch his own head eventually. But the purport of that story is how the demons have a nature that if they are given some power, position, they misuse it. Like Prabhupada tells the story of that Punamushika Bhava. Like once a rat went to a sage and said that, "Oh, my dear sage, the cats are always troubling me. I can never come out of my hole. Please save me." And the sage asked, "What do you want?" "If you make me a cat, I think I'll be peaceful." Then he made him a cat. Then the cat was moving here and there, and the cat again came running to the sage and said, "Oh, sage, if you make me a fox, I'll be more safe. I can run much more faster. Because sometimes the other animals like tiger, lion may attack me, or dogs try to bite me." So then he became a fox or something. And then he said, "My dear sage, what is the use of being a fox? Actually, if I am a tiger, then no tiger or lion can attack me. So better make me a tiger, because tiger, lion, they are like the king of the forest." So then he was made the tiger. Then he thought he is free. But then the tiger was looking at the sage, opening the mouth. And the sage looked at him and said, you're staring at me? I think you want to eat me up? He said, "Yes," he said. Immediately he took the kamandalu and water and he threw the water and said, "Punahamushika Bhava." "Punahamushika Bhava," again you become a rat, he said. So the tiger turned into rat again. So Prabhupada tells this story to show how sometimes a living entity is empowered. When he is empowered, when he is given some position, power, shakti, then they try to, like this Bhasmasura was given a power by Lord Shiva, but he is misusing it and trying to attack the very same person who gave it. You can see that this tendency is there in the material world very strongly. You will find in the material world people praise superiors with the desire to get what they have in this world. Like sometimes a superior has some skills, some abilities. They want to get those things. And then after getting those facilities, then there is a desire to even surpass them also. And that is the reason why in the Vaishnava parampara, this understanding is there. That when we learn from somebody, say for example our spiritual master or superiors, when we learn from them, it is not that you can get whatever they have in one shot. And then now whatever they know and you know, and you become equal to them. Or you can become better than them. It's not like that. Because spiritual life is not all about knowledge alone. Spiritual life is about mercy. Spiritual life is about realization. Many things. The disciple-guru relationship will always remain eternally the same. Guru will always be superior to us. Even though sometimes, like for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent Bhaksan Saraswati Thakur to go to that Brahmin debate. He sent him. And he did a very good job and came. Isn't it? Sometimes Gaura Keshwadas Babaji would come to a hall where Bhaksan Saraswati Thakur would be giving lecture. Thousands of people would be sitting. And Gaura Keshwadas Babaji would be hiding behind a pillar and listening to him also. And then he would tell the other people, "See my Prabhu, how wonderful he is speaking." He would say like that. So, but that doesn't make him inferior. So, in this way you will find in the Vaishnava parampara always, it is understood that the wealth of Krishna possessed by every Vaishnava is ever expanding. And we can keep on associating and drawing more. It's like a reservoir that never dries up. That kind of understanding is very necessary. Otherwise, you will find, like this Karna went to Parashuram. his actual goal was to get the talent from Parashuram by cheating the guru. Correct, no? He wanted to cheat the guru, claiming himself Brahmana. And then that is the reason why he was cursed that he will forget the mantra at appropriate time subsequently. Correct, no? So, the material propensities in spiritual life should be curbed for our happiness and others' happiness. Because if we don't curb the material tendencies, they become a cause of great trouble for ourselves and others also in this world. So even if you are a demigod or administrator, we will have trouble. That is very evident from this purport. Brahma is in trouble. He is approaching Supreme Lord. Oh Lord, Hiranyaksha took some benedictions from me. I never thought he will be so troublesome. Same Brahma gave benediction to Hiranyakashipu. And then the universe was in trouble. And then Supreme Lord had to come and set right the situation. So, in this way, demigods actually, they have drawn powers from Supreme Lord, and then they are made in charge for some department where they sanction. But sometimes they sanction more than what they deserve to sanction sometimes. Because they sometimes consider themselves autonomous, and that that kind of propensity brings trouble, as we see here. Another point Prabhupada being said is demons habitually find fault with the demigods, brahmanas and innocent, to whom they are a constant source of fear. So here, the demons and demigods, their culture is completely opposite. As we said in the beginning, the demigods accept Vishnu, demons oppose Vishnu. The demigods actually they work in a very united way, cooperative way, for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Like you see that they were so cooperative that they could cooperate even with the demons also to go for a truce. Whereas the demons, the moment they got the Amrita Kalash, they were all fighting with one another. I will take it first. I will take it first. Aham purvam, natvam, natvamati prabho. They had a cutthroat competition. Every demon thought, I will drink it first and then give it to others, as much as I want. I will drink it first. So putting themselves in the center, the demons were fighting for Amritam. Finally, none of them got it. You see, it was taken away from them. So I have seen my spiritual master, Paramparajana Swami Maharaj, always stressing on the lower quality of demons which have to be given up by the practicing sadhaka devotees. At one time, he gave a series of 4 or 5 lectures within a week or two. In that, repeatedly he was making this point that we should take ourselves out of the center and put all the other devotees in the center. And we should simply act as a servant and not try to lord over, not try to boss, or not become arrogant. So this is one point he was repeatedly stressing. He was telling that actually the willingness to listen to others, the willingness to bend, willingness to cooperate is such a vital quality for the mission to become successful, for Srila Prabhupada's mission to be successful. And the demigods, although they have some lower nature also, demigods, as we said earlier, they are ultimately submissive to Vishnu. This is actually a great hope for us, because when we are living in this world as sadhakas, we also have many demigod propensities. We have. So with these propensities also, demigods have been able to cooperate and get Amritam. In one of his lectures, Maharaj was telling about this whole Samudra Manthan Leela represents the purification of a sadhana bhakta. That also he was telling. How it is he was telling? That in our heart, there is a tug of war going on between the demoniac qualities and divine qualities. Like sometimes he says about good dog and bad dog. So there is a tug of war going on. So he was telling that is like the churning of the heart. There is a lower vector and there is a upward vector. In the downward vector, our senses want sense gratification. Our mind wants fickle pleasures. So our false ego wants prestige. So all these are lower vector. And the upward vector is, you know, dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam payantite, transcendental intelligence. So this tug of war is going on. So he was telling that when we are progressing in spiritual life, the goal is to get amritam of Krishna prem. But before the amrit comes, he said the halahal will come, the poison will come, all the anarthas will come, anartha nivritti has to take place. And who takes the halahal? Lord Shiva. And our spiritual master represents Shiva, because he is a Vaishnava. The great Vaishnavas can take away our sinful reactions. So divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sankshayam. They give us transcendental knowledge and they take away the sinful reactions. And in this way they help us to do anartha nivritti. And then when we do bhakti, we become very attractive. A devotee becomes very attractive by doing bhakti, by possessing Krishna even a little bit. Devaki was possessing Krishna in her mind and she looked so beautiful. Then all the demigods came to offer prayers to her. Similarly, when we possess bhakti, we become magnetic and we attract lot of material gifts towards us. People will want to give you so many things. They will give you facilities and provide so many things. People want to serve you prasad. People want to take you in their car. People want to give you a big position. They want to become your follower and many things, which is called Tarangarangini. Similarly, in the Samudra Manthan, many, many gifts came. And Lord had told them, you should not touch any of them. And the demigods were shocked. Really, we cannot touch. Yes, if I give, you can accept. Otherwise, you should not touch anything. So they were completely submissive. And then the halahal came, which is anartha nivritti. And even after halahal came, Lord had told them, you should not run away. Because if halahal comes, the poison comes, thinking that we wanted amrit and we are getting poison. So you may drop the vasuki and run away. Similarly, some people join ISKCON and then they see that the anarthas are not going away, they leave ISKCON and go away. They think that, you know, they promised me Krishna Prem, I'm not getting Krishna Prem, so they go away. So they do a half job and go away. So one has to persist and then continue doing the work. And then gradually, over a period of time, when Rama came, Rama went and garlanded Vishnu. In this way, ultimately when Dhanvantari brings the kalash, Amrit kalash, the demons snatched it and they ran away. So, on the other hand, the devotees are always patient. They are willing to wait till the Lord awards Krishna Prem. And ultimately the demigods got the Amritam. Similar devotees also will get Krishna Prem, definitely. And the most important thing is, when the Mohini Murthy came, the demigods did not become infatuated by seeing her at all. On the other hand, the demons saw Mohini Murthy and they got bewildered. The same kalash which they snatched from Dhanvantari, they gave it back to Mohini Murthy. Similarly, you will find the demons in this world, they don't offer their Lakshmi and their resources to Lord service, but ultimately it is snatched away by Maya. You can see that. So, in conclusion, I wanted to share something very valuable. This tip will help us while living as sadhakas in this world, how we can do interaction with others, and we can do collaboration and participation with others. And also how we can be non-interfering in our dealings with others. Because with dealing with the things of the world around us and dealing with the living entities of the world, and most important living entities for us are the devotees, while living in the community of devotees. So how we can have a healthy interaction? For healthy interaction, we have to put aside our needs, interests and concerns and make others' needs, interests and concerns important for us. Generally, you will see, when in my early days, I met as well as Bhaktirasamata Maharaj. He was the first person in my life I met who, whenever I met him, he talked about me. He didn't talk about himself. This was a very great surprise to me, because in my college, most of the friends will talk about themselves only when you meet them. And mostly, whenever they come to me, they will come to ask me for some favor. But here is a person who thought about me, talked about me. So Vaishnava culture means we have to think about others. Others' needs, interests and concerns. and put others' priorities first and ours later. Another, then people will want to interact with devotees, interact with us. Otherwise, if people think a person is very selfish, as soon as he comes, they will run away. They know that he's going to ask for something, isn't it? And another aspect which will make us have a healthy interaction is listening to people without diagnosing. Listening without diagnosing. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was listening to Sarvam Bhattacharya without diagnosing immediately. He didn't have to diagnose. He already knew he's a Mayavadi only. There was no need to diagnose also. Already he knew him. But listening without diagnosing. Same he did with Prakashananda Saraswati and others also. So if we can make our 2 ears very big and make our mouth small, we will have tremendous interaction with lots of people. Many people will be happy to associate with us. That's why God has given us 2 ears also. One mouth and 2 ears. So this is for interaction. And for collaboration or participation with anybody, we have to give up the habit of bragging about our own abilities, capabilities. And we should not give too much importance to our own opinion as a singular opinion or the best opinion in the whole universe. Rather, we have to respect and appreciate others' opinions and abilities. So, for example, high character person means I may have a strong opinion about something, but if somebody gives me a better suggestion, at once I will give up my opinion and accept that. That type of willingness has to be there. We should not have ego problem that, I agree that your opinion is better, but still you have shot down my opinion, so I will not agree with you. That is not proper. If somebody has a better suggestion, we should be willing to accept. So, and also, if we respect the abilities of others, others will be happy to collaborate with us and participate with us. We can have participation and friendship and collaboration with others if we can appreciate abilities of others. You try doing this, go to some devotee, appreciate and seek help. They will happily help you without any reservation. And devotees by nature are very merciful, very kind. But sometimes people try to screw a devotee or they try to get things done in an indirect way because of ego problem, they don't honestly appreciate. So, appreciating others' opinions and abilities will help us to go for a collaborative relationship with many, and we can do a lot of wonderful things in this world. Because, you may be very talented, but if you collaborate with another talented devotee, the combination can become very powerful for our movement and for the mission. Thirdly, so I was telling about interaction and collaboration. And third is non-interference. Non-interference means we have to respect the fact that every devotee has a circle around him, which is the zone of his privacy. And we should not try to barge into that zone. We have to allow people to be who they are and be ourselves what we are and keep a certain amount of distance, respectable distance, where our relationship with them will produce a juice, a very sweet type of relationship will be there. But if we get into that circle, their private circle, Lakshman Rekha, if you go into that circle and try to judge them or try to find fault with them, or try to advise them, although they have not hired us for advice, then that is the situation where, we become bad guys and the wrong perceptions are picked up by both the parties. They are called fossilized perceptions. They go deep into the heart and for years together, sometimes for one lifetime. One devotee was telling, Prabhuji, whole life I don't want to connect with the devotee. Then I told him, see, now you don't want to connect. You go to Golok Vrindavan. Suddenly you find Krishna is calling both of you. Then you have to see him, what will you do? He's saying, I will request Krishna to put me in another place, another circle. I cannot work with this fellow. That much he has developed perception, you can imagine, wrong perception. So, that is why in our interaction, participation and non-interference, if you cultivate these qualities, these are all tools for very effective communication while living in a community with different devotees. And by these are all universal principles. By following these universal principles, we can gradually give up our propensity for controlling others. dominating others and controlling others and trying to enjoy using others and other things for our own pleasure. So the demoniac propensity is there in a small proportion even after we become devotees and as we are growing devotees. And it will gradually be washed out as we chant the holy name sincerely, attentively, and we practice the path of devotion service with full absorption. Actually, the more we absorb in Lord's pastimes, His very nature will brush with us. When the Lord's nature brushes with the living entity, all good qualities will come. Recently, I read one new type of translation by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur for this verse. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura harava bhakta sabkuto mahat guna manoratena satidavato bahir. For this verse, we all know the well-known translation that Srila Prabhupada has given, that anyone who becomes a devotee, all the qualities of demigods will be manifested in the body of a devotee. Now, Chakravarti Thakur gives another type of translation. He says, the demigods are fascinated by the great transcendental qualities of pure devotees. Like that he says, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunais tatra samasate sura. The suras, they adore and admire the transcendental qualities appearing in the body and mind of pure devotees in connection with the Supreme Lord. Like that he writes. Which means, Yebayash Gushuk Tribhuvana, we say, even Brahma and Shiva are discussing about how Prabhupada started ISKCON. That is the meaning of this. How this Swamiji left India and he crossed the oceans, which is mentioned in the Bhavishya Puran. It is said that Bhakti Mata will leave India and go to the West, and then Bhakti will become very powerful and then it will return back to India. And that prediction was made true by Srila Prabhupada. And how Prabhupada made the hippies into happies and he established Krishna consciousness all over the world, you know, to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this kind of discussions are going on even amongst Shiva and Brahma and Indra. Demigods are glorifying the pure devotees. So we have to know, in the 400,000 human species, the purest devotees are in the topmost rung. The others come below, including the demigods also. So from animal to human, and human to angel. So we can go from animalistic platform to human platform. Sadachar actually means human behavior. But then after that, one has to behave like a demigod. Demigods have many, many wonderful qualities. The most wonderful quality of demigod is that they are obedient to Lord Vishnu. And then, one is continuing to practice from Kanishtha to Madhyam to Uttam, one will become a pure devotee. And when one becomes a pure devotee, then one transcends all the gunas, all the three gunas. So here Prabhupada says the demons habitually find fault with the demigods, brahmanas and innocent. That's because of their own misfortune, because the demons envy Vishnu and they also envy demigods, because you see, one lady had a quarrel with the neighborhood lady. But the neighborhood lady was very powerful, very fat and very, very powerful. When this lady would shout, she would shout for double the time. So she could not do anything to the neighborhood lady. But so what this lady would do when the neighborhood lady's child would come here, she will give a pinch to the child. Why? She couldn't punish her because she was too powerful. She thought, at least I will punish her child, she thought. Similarly, when we become envious of Krishna, we are not able to, you know, defeat Krishna. We only get defeated. Then we try to prick somebody who is very dear to Krishna. Who is it? Devotees, yeah. So our envy for devotees actually comes from envy for Krishna. So those who are managers, they should learn the art of punishing people without envy. That is a very great, like once somebody asked Rana Swami Maharaj, Maharaj, modeta sadurapi vrishchika sarpa hatya. Prahlad says that even saintly persons feel joy when demons are destroyed, isn't it? And Maharaj said, yes, that is true. You can be joyful when a demon is destroyed, provided you are non-envious, he said. So, in this way, actually, whenever we offer a punishment to someone, Is this punishment? Are we offering punishment and delighting in offering punishment? Or we are offering some kind of punishment to help them come closer to Krishna? So that is the question. So if you delight in punishing others, that is a demoniac propensity. If you delight in bringing someone closer to Krishna, that is a devotee's propensity. So these things become important, because whenever we read about the demons, we should not think, I am not a demon at all. This is said about somebody else. I don't have haunch, I don't have teeth. We should not think like that. We should know that we have a mixture of both, some divine and some demoniac propensities, and we have to wash out the demoniac propensities in order to truly experience bhakti in our own hearts. And the chanting of the holy name is the most powerful weapon in purifying the heart, and also helping us to detect. The holy name is like a torch. You know, when you are using a torch, you can see the snakes, you can see the garbage. Similarly, the holy name also helps us to detect our own anarthas and bring it to the surface. And we feel ashamed of ourselves. It forces us to become humble. And then continued chanting of the holy name will not only detect and show, but it will wash away the sinful propensities and the sinful reactions. Nam no hi yavati shakti papam nirharane hare tavat kartum nashaknoti patakam pataki naraha simha trashtair mugai riva. There is one verse which says, the chanting of the holy name is like roaring of a lion. You heard roaring of a lion? Lion's dart. Like that it makes from the bottom of the belly, it comes like that. Hearing that, all the deers and rabbits and all animals will flee in all directions. Like that, when you chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So all the Papa Pakshis will fly away when we chant the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada very thoroughly has given this type of knowledge in his purports in a very crystal clear manner with no ambiguity. So we can know what is material tinge, material propensity, and what is the spiritual platform. At least we know theoretically. We can aspire for it. As we aspire and we endeavor, we progress. And the mercy will come as we endeavor more and more. Srila Prabhupada ki, Dantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.